feather jewels,
or a crown above.
Send a light, send a light, send a light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bible. Brother Tracy, our associate pastor, come. Welcome back from vacation. Praise the Lord. You come and preach for us tonight.
Well, I go from the beach to fall weather. I like the beach.
Praise the Lord.
You would turn to John 17. I was every time I go to the ocean, I think of where it says in the Bible that that He keeps the water bound, yeah. That the sea can't overflow anywhere where He says it can't. And when I was a kid, I hated the wind. And then I got saved and I was reading the Bible where it says you can't have changes of seasons. You can't have changes. The rain comes because the wind blows it.
Yeah.
And I said, oh Lord, I'm sorry that I've ever said I hated the wind. But isn't it strange how we gripe about the winter and we gripe about the summer when it's too hot. This summer when it was hot, I said, you know, I made God a promise this winter that I'd never gripe because it was too hot. But man, I wish He'd make it rain or something. Because this winter was, I don't know, if it just was dark for me. And maybe it was a time of my life when it was supposed to be dark. But this winter was dark. It was. I know now why a lot of people don't live in Alaska.
Yeah.
Because of the darkness. But can I tell you something? This world is dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
This world is very evil. We was watching a Dateline the other night. And this guy wanted to be like Hannibal. And he killed, they don't know how many people he's killed. He's in prison now. And if he ain't dead now, he's close to being dead. But he killed people. And that's where he got his thrill or something. I don't know. And it's just not a few people. It's everywhere. As we're sitting around in and it's not paradise, but it was very nice down there. It was very relaxed. I love going to on vacation because you don't have to do anything. And there's a place that we ran into a guy in Pennsylvania at a rest stop that told Debbie that it was a great place to eat down there. And it was 3 blocks from where we were staying. We never ate there. So we got to go back next week and eat there. But we ate great food and it was awesome. But you know, even in a place like that, there's so many people that are lost.
Yep.
Everything shut down after Labor Day because everybody goes back to school. So the boardwalk was still open there in Wildwood, but all the music rides and stuff like that, all of that was shut down. The beach was, you know, there was people there, but it was shut down compared to what it usually is. People were going about their everyday lives, but it was different because all the people that usually are there were not there. But can I tell you something? Most people that go down to that place are not looking to see that God keeps the ocean where it's keeping. Most people don't look at the ocean and say, oh man, I remember reading this in the Bible. And man, it just shows your majesty. They're looking for the dark sides of things. They're looking for the things that are going to give them pleasure. My sister, I talked to my sister today, and she goes, when were you the happiest in your life? And I said, probably the happiest year of my life was right after I got saved. And she said, the happiest time in my life, I was 26 years old, I just had my second child, we had a brand new home, and I think that was the happiest time of my life. And I said, no, she said 25. And I said, well, right before you said 25, I was going to say at 26, I was in the prime of my life. I was probably the stoutest I've ever been in my life at 26. I could do anything and everything. But that was worldly. The happiest time of my life, I told my sister, you know, when I drank and everything, I was laughing and everybody thought I was a jovial drunk, and I was a jovial drunk, but I was the most miserable in the world. So I said, the happiest time of my life was right after I got saved. Without a doubt. John 17, as we all know, is Jesus' prayer for us. It's his prayer for his disciples there at the time and the disciples to follow. In verse 9 it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy world have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Do you know, the day after I quit my job to go do whatever God wanted me to do, I didn't know at the time what he wanted me to do. The day after I quit my job, I, at that time, had a Sprint cell phone, and I had to go to a Sprint store to pay for my cell phone. And where we was working was in New Jersey at the time. And the Sprint store that I knew of around there was at the mall. So I got up, went and ate breakfast, got my truck, and went to the mall. And a lot of people walk inside the mall before the mall opens. And I got there before the store opened, so I sat down, and I was just watching people, and they was walking by. And after the store started opening, people was coming in and they was rushing into the store to buy something. Not that they really needed it, but they was going to buy something to make them happy. You know, that's how I used to be at that time. And I was going, you know what, God? All these people are in here trying to buy happiness. They're trying to buy something that's going to make them happy. You know what? I love the ocean. I don't like the ocean. I like the beach. My dog, our dog, started swimming this time because my wife got out in the middle, not in the middle of the ocean, but she got out and called the dog, or the dog never would have went in. I got up, went and paid my phone bill, and started walking through the deal going, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. And I was doing this out loud. So I know people heard me, and I know people was going, what is wrong with this guy? He's not of this world. You telling me, right? He's not of this world. Look at him. He's crazy. I'm not of this world, Lord. I'm not of this world. All my life I wanted things. I didn't want old things. I've had old things all my life. I wanted new things. I wanted new things. You know what? There's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with going to the beach and having a great time. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this world. Did you know God made that ocean? He made that beach? And he didn't make it for the heathen or the devil's crowd. God, I woke up this morning. When I walked outside, there was the cloud all over the lake. It was white as snow. The grass was green. There was some yellow, there was some orange, you know, coming in this fall. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you know what? when we went to the church, with the Good Samaritan Baptist Church down there, and we was talking to people afterwards, they said, y'all are down here on vacation? He goes, we go to the mountains on vacation. We get sick and tired of this beach. We're going to the mountains. And I said, isn't that strange how we are? We always want what somebody else has. Or we think of living there would be great. I am very blessed in my life in this situation that when I was in the world working, I got to tour this country and I got to tour some other countries too. I'm very blessed with that. And for a long time, I was more at home in a motel room than I was at the house. I've seen a lot of stuff. God has allowed me to do that. But the Bible says that this is not our home.
Amen.
And sometimes, even as Christians, we get caught up in a thing that, you know what? I want to tell you something. It's nicer having a house than having to stay at somebody else's house. I want to tell you that very, very easily. That is true. When we had our home at the village, it was awesome. My wife had it fixed up exactly how she wanted it. It was beautiful. It was nice. The yard was awesome. It was nice. It was peaceful. It was right by the road, but you couldn't hear the cars going by. It was nice. And we had a lot of good times there. But can I tell you something? God says that if we do what He wants us to do, He's going to build us a mansion.
Amen.
And when we get up there, it's going to be more than what we'd ever thought or dreamed of. Paul said, I thought of this the other day. This guy at the village, this has nothing to do with this message or anything, but I thought of this, so you're going to hear it. I'm going down this rabbit trail. He said that we watched a movie there one time about somebody dying, going to heaven, and coming back. And he said, I don't believe it because the Bible says that a man's appointed wants to die and then the judgment. And I said, you calling Paul a liar? Paul says, I don't know. 14 years ago, a man, I don't know whether in the body or out of the body, but he went up to the third heaven. The third heaven is not the stars and the atmosphere and space. It's not the weather around here. The third heaven is heaven. And he said, I heard and saw things that it's not a man can't utter. Now, that tells me that Paul got to see a little bit of heaven when he came back. You know, ever since then, Paul said, you know what? I'd rather be in heaven than here on this earth. He said, in fact, if I had my wish, I'd be gone right now. He said, but it's more expedient. Come on in. Hallelujah. That reminds me of a time when I would go out to the farm and read out of the Bible to the calves and stuff out there. And I went out there one time and I was reading out of the Bible out loud and the chicken just went, I mean, they got it where I couldn't even hear myself think. And the minute I walked out the door and shut it, they shut up. And we had a guy at the village say that the chickens had demons in them. And I started believing him after that. Where in the world am I now? I'm out of this world. I'm not of this world. Did you know that when I'm walking around that mall and I'm doing this, that I turned a corner, and there over to the right was this woman. She was bent over, and she had a tattoo right here. The devil never stops. And I said, my wife is twice as beautiful as she is. I said, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. Did you know that from then on, this is true. Y'all listen to me. From then on, I didn't look for another wife. Or I didn't look for another woman. I didn't look. And then one day at the village, I'm sitting there. I'm in the back, and we're praying. My head's bowed, and my eyes are closed. And this old man walks up to me and puts his hand on me. It scares me to death because we're in prayer. Nobody's supposed to be messing with me. And he goes, the Lord told me that you're going to get married here. Your wife's going to be from here. And then he goes over and sits down. You know, from then on day, you know what I was doing? Is it hurting? 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 You know, I'm not of this world. But you know what? As a Christian, sometimes we get fixed on other things. we get our minds to where we think like the world sometimes. In verse 14 it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I haven't watched very much news. I don't know too much about what the storm did in South Carolina. I flip through my phone every once in a while, and I'll see that this Kavanaugh thing is going on, and how crazy it is. There is nobody with more credentials to be a Supreme Court judge than him. Nobody. Now, he's Catholic. I don't agree with his religion. But on the left and the right, they will say that as far as his papers, there's nobody more qualified to be a judge than him. Mm-hmm. But what this is all about is they're afraid that Roe versus Wade may be revoked, and they may overturn it. This ain't about right or wrong. This is about women's health. How is killing a baby about a woman's health? It's about maybe this country may go back to the right. To the right. It may go back to the right, and we may have religious morals again. I watched a thing on about 2 weeks ago. I watched a thing that this guy said. It said this was a prophetic message from Donald Trump. And what he did is he had a bunch of pastors up there, and he sent all the reporters away. But this one guy recorded it. And what he says is this election, talking about this year's election, the midterm elections, is whether America will come back to God and do right, or we lose and Democrats take over. He said, if the Democrats take over, guess what? Y'all are on the hit list. Mm-hmm. Talking about Christians. Right. Mm-hmm. He said, if we lose this election, it ain't about me anymore. He said, if we lose this election and Democrats take over, they're going to impeach me. Mm-hmm. But it is a all-out war against the Christians if they win. Right. You know why everybody hates Donald Trump? It's not because the economy is doing good. It's because he's done more for the Christians than any other president, and I don't know when. So the world hates that. Verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, when I got saved, the only thing I wanted to do was go straight to heaven. I had all this world that I wanted. I wanted to go straight to heaven. But you know what? He kept me here. You know why? He wanted me to tell other people about him. He wanted me to go and spread the gospel. He wanted me to tell other alcoholics and other drunks that there's hope. You know what this world has? It doesn't have any hope. You know why the murder rate is so bad in Chicago? That there's not a black young man growing up in Chicago that ever believes he's going to make it past 21. You talked about your nephew or cousin or he had no hope. All he had was, hey, this is how I was too when I was out in the world. Hey, you live, you have fun, you die. So you try to have as much fun as you can before you die. That's all he was trying to do. He was trying to fill that void with the world. That's all he was trying to do. You know what most people are trying to do? The same thing. They're trying to fill that void. It says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil. There's so much evil in this world. So much evil. So much, so many killings, so many robbings. It's just sick. In verse 16, it says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." You know, I think we have too many Christians that are of the world. And I'm preaching to me right now. There's a lot of times that I'm in the world, man. It's all about me, 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 me. When I'm in that dark time, that it was all about me. Hey, I've worked for 10 years. I'm going to sit on my tail. Hey, nobody deserves a break more than me because I've done all this, I've done all this, and I've done all this. And nobody helped me. I was always helping somebody else. Can I tell you something? That's self-pity. And that's of the devil. I was reading my little devotion the other morning while he's down there. And this is what kind of got me on this message. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Let me see where I'm trying to find this. I ain't going to read the whole thing. I guess I am because I can't see where it is. Okay. It's a short one. This is the happy season of ripening cornfields, of the merry song of the reapers, of the secured and gardener grain. But let me hearken to the sermon of the field. This is its solemn word to me. You must die in order to live. You must refuse to consult your own ease and well-being. You must be crucified, not only in desires and habits which are sinful, but in many more which appear innocent and right. If you would save others, you cannot save yourself. If you would bear much fruit, you must be buried in darkness and solitude. My heart fails me as I listen, but when Jesus asks it, let me tell myself that it is my high dignity to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, and thus I am in the best company. Let me tell myself again that it is all meant to make me a vessel meet for his use. His own Calvary has blossomed into fertility, and so shall mine. Plenty of pain, life out of death. It is not the law of kingdom. All right, that's good. But I still didn't see what I was talking about. Here we go. It's the next one. I'm sorry. Somewhere in here, it says that we should... Our math is wrong. I think it was the next one, but I messed it up, so it don't matter. Our math is wrong. Because, see, everything we count as great, Paul counted as loss. Everything that we count dear to us, Paul said, it's nothing but dung to me. I want to be closer to Christ than anything else in this world. And you know what? As Christian, we could all say, you know, that's right. But how about our daily lives? Are we that way? Because I will tell you, most of us aren't. Mr. Siegfried says that you will cry more tears the day you surrender to God's will than you will when you get saved. I want to tell you something. The day I quit my job, I cried more than any time that I got saved. Any time in my life, I cried more that day. Can I tell you something? The next morning, I got in my truck to drive up here, and I took over the wheel again. The last time I preached, I talked about is God really Lord of our lives? We say that He is, but do we really do what He tells us to do? I don't see too many Pauls today. I don't see too many Christians saying, you know what? No matter what, I am going to serve God and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Because there's every person here has wants and desires. I don't care who you are. You have wants and desires. But are they God's wants? And are they God's desires? I never will. Johnny Pope taught me this. He came to the village and preached this. And he said, you know what? God, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. And that don't mean, oh God, I want a tiger stripe Bentley and I want this, this, this. And he goes, no, God will give you. He'll give you. He'll plant the seed in your heart of what He wants you to do.
Amen.
And when you get saved, that seed goes in there. It's called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Spirit praying for us because we don't know what we need to pray for.
Yes, sir.
You know what He's praying for? Lord, let this idiot do what You want him to do.
Amen.
the title of this message was Be an Overcomer. I don't know if I'm going to get to that yet or not, but you'll turn to Revelation. First, go to 1 John 2. How do we overcome the world? Well, the first thing you have to do to overcome the world is become a new creature. Because if you're not saved, you're of the world. In verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. How do you become a child of God? You get saved. You get born again. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's how you overcome the world. You get saved, you read your Bible and pray and grow, and you build a relationship with Jesus Christ, so you are one. That's what he prayed for in John 17, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
That I and the Father am one, and you and I are one, and you and the Father are one. That's what he was praying for, that we become one. There's a place in the Bible, I think it was Amos, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk over here in the world, and you can't walk over here with God all at the same time. The love of the world is enmity with God. Does that mean we can't enjoy the things of the world? No. It means we could go take vacations. We could. I'm sorry, I look like a long-haired hippie, and I am going to get my hair cut tomorrow if the Lord wills. We got on the ferry, and there was a guy with a high and tight. He had a flat top that was high and tight. It looked like a mohawk, but he had his watch on, his khaki pants and stuff. He was working on the ferry. And he looked just like my cousin. Except my cousin's flat top is a little different. He don't have any hair up here, and he's got hair on the side. But I was telling Debbie, I said, don't that look like Terry? And she goes, he looks just like your brother. I said, he don't look like my brother, but he looked like my cousin. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 John 5. There was a point to that. It really was. Maybe I'll get it here. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There's a place in Romans 8 where it says that we are more than conquerors. And we are more than conquerors not because of what we did, but because of what he did. That I can be overcome the world because of Jesus Christ. He gave me power to become the Son of God. When he gave me power, he gave me the Holy Spirit. And I have power over sin. That I don't have to sin. But if I do sin, it's because of my choice. But I don't have to sin anymore. And the closer we get with Jesus, the closer that we stay away from sin. the farther away we forget from Jesus, kind of like Peter warming himself at the fire, he was following Jesus afar off. So the farther away we are from Jesus, the easier it is for us to sin. The closer we are from Jesus, it's harder for us to sin. He praying for that we would be one with Him. That we would be one. And He gave us a picture of being married. That the woman and the man become one flesh. That's how He wants us. He wants us to be one with the Father. So, how do we overcome the world? We get saved. We build a relationship with Him. I'm not going to go through all these. I've got Revelation 2 and 3 marked down in Revelation 21 where it talks about overcometh. Overcometh, being an overcomer. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. And he that overcometh, I will... all these other things. Y'all can read them at your leisure. It's in Revelation 2, Revelation 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's seven things there in Revelation 21, 7. I want you to go to Revelation 12. And there's a guy that used to preach this at the village, but he did not preach it right. And I pray that I do tonight. In verse 10 of Revelation 12. It says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Now, we used to have a guy there at the village that would say that you need to overcome Satan by your testimony. So, first of all, you got to go through this blood of the Lamb. You don't have a testimony unless you've been saved. Everybody, some people, there was people there at that village, them kids, they had terrible lives. They had been a lot of evil done to them. That didn't make them saved. God loved them. God brought them there for them to hear the Word of God and get saved. But they have to be saved before they have a testimony. So no matter how bad your life has been or things in your life that's happened to you, that's not your testimony. Your testimony is that Jesus Christ saved you.
Amen.
Amen.
And gave you life at this certain day of your life. Not when you was born, not when you was a kid, but one day when you said, I am a sinner, and I need Jesus Christ in my life to save me from the wrath of God, save me from hell, to cleanse me of my sins. You know, most people there that came to the village, they just wanted to get off drugs. They were good people. They just fell into something that they couldn't handle anymore. And if you give me off drugs, I'll be all right. And I'll live exactly how I lived before I got into drugs. That wasn't how I got saved. When I got saved, I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't know if there was a God that really loved me that gave His Son for me. But the minute I accepted that and I believed that, I got saved. This is my testimony. That at 40 years old, ready to die, not wanting any more of this world, I went to church one day after cousin bought me a Bible. The church had already started. I turned on the radio to First Baptist Church of Dallas and drove around. And when they gave an altar call, I pulled the truck over and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Not that I asked Jesus to come into my life. Because that's what I really thought was going to happen. But I gave Him my life. And I said, if You are real, please save me. And He saved me. Now, I used to be a drunk. And I used to be a drug addict. I used to gamble. I used to be the sorriest person on this earth. As Paul would say, I was the chief of sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, reached down in that pit that I dug for myself and pulled me out and set me on solid rock. That's my testimony. My testimony is what God did, is what Jesus did on the cross for me. That's my testimony. Not what I have done, but what He has done.
Amen.
That's my testimony. And that's how I'll overcome the world, because of His testimony. Because of His shed blood on the cross. That's my testimony. Anything else than that is not a testimony. I can tell you about bad things that happened to me when I was a kid. Okay? But before August the 9th, 2006, I didn't have a testimony. I could tell you in 1987 when I said the sinner's prayer, but I didn't have a testimony. My testimony was in 2006, April the 9th, when God saved me. That, when Jesus pulled me up out of that pit. That's my testimony. Now, we are all overcomers if we're saved. You see, God's given us power to overcome the world. But are you one? Are you one with Him? There's a song I love. It says, the things of this world become strangely dim when what? We look in the glory of the magic. What? When we look, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. When we look in the glory. Yeah, whatever, yeah. Amen. Oh, I can't believe I went blank. When we look in the... Yeah, anyway. But you know what? When you're looking at Jesus, you ain't looking at this world.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're looking at Jesus, you can walk on water. Ask Peter. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he looked at the wind, he looked at the waves, and he started to sink and said, Lord, save me. I'm afraid most of us are walking around saying, Lord, save me, because we got our eyes everywhere but on Him.
Mm-hmm.
I was the happiest of my life when I was driving up from New Jersey. September 11th when I was driving up. And the sky was bluest. The white clouds were the whitest. The green leaves and the green grass were the greenest. You know why? Because I was doing what God wanted me to. I had given Him my life. And the next happiest day of my life was when they told me that they was going to give me the ranch program and I was going to head that up. And I was so elated that God had something for me to do. That God would take a sinner like me and have something for Him to do. It didn't matter that they wasn't going to pay me. It didn't matter that water, everything. It didn't matter. God had something for me to do. The next happiest day of my life was when I got married. And I look at that picture, and I got it on my phone, and I look at that picture, and I said, God, You've done this.
Amen.
You've done that. People back home can't believe I'm married, and they really can't believe I'm married to Debbie. Like, I have cousins that tell everybody that I photoshopped her on there, that I'm really not married. And my aunt, who's 86 or 7 now, says, can you give me Debbie's phone number? But can I tell you something? God has been so good to me. He's been so gracious to me. And I love Jeremiah 29 where it says, I have an expected end for you. Even after you went astray, even after you left me, after you sinned against me so bad, I still love you. And I still have an expected end for you. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm so glad that I'm not going to go through the tribulation. But can I tell you something? This world is evil. And it's going to get worse. And being a Christian is going to be something bad. But can I tell you something? It says, to them that shall endure shall be saved. Don't let go of the hand of God. Continue to do what He wants you to do. Yep. Become one with Him.
Amen.
Become one with Paul got that. He just didn't write about it. He got that. When he said, I want to be crucified with Christ. Paul, who wrote 11 books of this Bible or more, and said, I want to know Him. Paul, you're doing great things for God. How do you want to know Him? He said, I want to know more about Him. I want to get closer to God than anything in this world. You know what? As Christians, we say, hey, that's pretty cool. That's what we should be doing. And we walk out the door and we get back in the world. I'm preaching to me. We get right back in the world. The other day, I had a chance to down there at the New Jersey. The first night we was there, we was talking to some people. They talked to us, gave us all kinds of funny stories, told us where to go, what beach to do, and all this other stuff, and just had a great time with them. But I never once told them my testimony. I never once told them about Jesus Christ. They told me all about the island. Not the island, but yeah, that's the island. They all told me about all of it. Where to go and what not to do. And we had a great time with them. They left. But I never told them about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? I had something precious to give them.
Amen.
I had something that they needed to know. What they did with it is their deal. I had something to tell them, and I didn't. I listened to their stories. I laughed with them, but I didn't tell them anything about Jesus. We went to another place with this guy who had a red Doberman that got... He spent $5,000 on this Doberman after he got attacked by a pit bull. The owner of the pit bull didn't have any shots for it, didn't have anything with it. Just went over and killed his Doberman. He spent $5,000 on it and then still had to put it down. He said for 2 years straight, he taught that Doberman how to count. And he'd hold up one finger and he'd bark once, two. And he even got it trained so much every day for 2 years that it would add and subtract. He'd say, what, three minus five, what is it? And he'd bark two times. Because, you know, he couldn't count or anything, but it was just repetition. And he told us all about Dobermans and everything. You know what? I didn't tell him about Jesus. There's a place in the Bible where it says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. If you tell people about, if you tell men about me, I will gladly say, hey, he's one of ours. That's my brother and that's your son right there.
Yeah.
Now, can I tell you something? I know most of my stories and most of my sermons are about spreading the gospel. Bill the other day before I left prayed that, hey, would you pray that I would share the gospel to more people? He said, I know that you think that that's a funny prayer, but God's really leading me to talk about Him to more people. I tell you something, all of us should say, hey, I want you to pray for me that I share the gospel more.
Amen.
Every one of us should say, you know what, Bill? I want that same prayer.
Amen.
Because you know why? Because the days are short.
Amen.
There's a day that you're not going to be able to tell about Jesus in this world. Unless you're going to be locked up, probably. I don't know how it's going to happen. But it's going to get bad. There's coming a day when we enjoy the things that we enjoy now that we're not going to be able to do. They overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know I thought of this when you was talking about Johnny. And I thought about all the drug addicts that came to the hall when I was there. And the ones that I've already went to their funerals where they died. And the ones that have made it. The ones that are going to make it. I didn't get saved when my mom was alive. She was already gone when I got saved. But she had a dream that I was in heaven and I was laughing. I had a gold belt buckle on. I told you all this story. And I always thought of the ranch when I thought about that. And there was a guy that came to the hall. He came to the village three times. He came to the hall twice. He was in regular program when I got there. And he messed up again, and we was going to kick him out. And all day at the farm, I was thinking about my mom and how that she told me that story. And I was going to get back and get on the find her, this guy's mother, and call her and say, "Hey, you know what? I don't know why God led me to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this." Well, when I got back there, she had left me a message, which basically said, I always knew that my son was going to get saved there. I believe with all my heart that my son was going to get saved there. But he didn't. She goes, "I have prayed and I want you to know," I mean, this was on my phone message, and it was heartbreaking. I kept it for I don't know how many years. And she goes, "I want you to know that I'm going to continue to support that ministry. And I'm going to continue to pray that my son gets saved." But with her voice breaking, she goes, "But I always knew that he's going to get saved there." I never did call her back because that message just broke me. But I wanted to call her back and say, "Hey, I want to tell you something. Your son's going to get saved. I have fasted for him. I have prayed for him more than you have fasted and prayed for him. And that one day, he's going to wake up and everything that we try to teach him down here is going to snap. Just like it snapped for me. You may not be alive to see it, but you'll see him in heaven one day." But I never did call and tell her that. But I believe with all my heart that he's going to get saved, because God gave me that all day long at the farm. That just like I did get saved later on, that God heard that woman's prayer. God heard my prayer, and he was going to get saved. And I've always said this, that I am saved and alive today because somebody was praying for me. My friends that are dead and in hell, the only thing I could think of is nobody was praying for. So as the days get closer to being coming to an end, and things are going to start getting worse and worse, why ain't we praying more and more? Why ain't we telling more people about Jesus?
Yeah.
Because we are more of the world right now than we are closer to God. You see, we're supposed to be one, but we're two. I'll close with this. I went to a place that I used to go to. It was near my home. And I left there late at night. And I was going to take a shortcut. And I climbed up on the barbed wire fence. And I got on the second strand. And the next thing you know, my head's in the dirt. I fell flat on my face. I was not saved at the time. My face hit in a fire ant bed. And I don't know what if y'all know anything about fire ants, but they all bite at one time, and there's thousands of them. And I don't know if I was knocked out or passed out. I've never been knocked out, so I think I just passed out for a little bit. But when the ants hit me, I woke up. And it took me most of the night to go through the briars, and I went through a pond. I don't know what all I went through to get home. And when I finally got to the house and opened the door, I laid right down on the floor. Half of me was outside, and half of me was inside. I told everybody the next day as I went back to the place where I was at, my face was all swollen up. Because I hit my head, and I had all these little bumps on my head with a fire ant bit me. That riding fences is tough. And can I tell you something? Riding the fence with Jesus is tough too. And we need to get off the fence.
Yeah, amen.
And just like I was halfway in my house and halfway out, that's how most of us live our lives. And to be a great Christian, to be a Christian that's blessed of God, you can't have both worlds.
Yeah.
We need to get on one side, and we need to stay on it. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could overcome the world. Lord, I thank you that we're not of the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you keep us from the evil of the world. And I pray, Lord, that we could be better witnesses for you. Lord, that there's a lot of drug addicts and drunks out there that need to know that there's hope. There's some people that have never drank and never drugged in their life that need hope. And Lord, I just pray that we would pray more for our unsaved loved ones. That we would be more like Bill and say, you know what? God wants me to speak to people, and I want y'all to pray for me that I speak to people. That is awesome. And I pray, Lord, that we would do it. I pray, Lord, you give us a great night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you any room for Jesus? God's tugged on your heart and that message. Perhaps you could bring it to an altar. Praise the Lord and give it to Him. 283. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin.